Dave Moore on Today FM.
Emer, did you get a new cover for your phone there?
I did.
What'd you get? Show me.
It was just like a little silicone.
Where'd you get it?
Bershka. I bought one, actually, depressing story. I was in town. It's very hard. As I've mentioned numerous times, I have an old phone.
Yes.
I have an iPhone 11 and it's very hard to get covers because no one's making them anymore.
Fair.
So I was in Baron Thomas looking in the homeware section as one does, not buying anything, as also most people do. I was actually, full disclosure, I went in to use the toilet and I happened to be in the homeware section.
I have to say, and this is a different discussion than the one we're having, but of all of the toilets that are available with a quick spoof, so McDonald's, for example, Burger King's a bit more difficult, but you can do it on Grafton Street. I think Baron Thomas are the most delightful.
Oh, yeah.
Of the... Do you know what? I'm just going to have a quick look on the fifth floor at the Christmas shop and then I'm in the toilets.
Yeah, yeah. Like, oh, Brent Thomas toilet's the best. See also, and this is a sneaky one, but I don't really like telling very many people about them.
Well, then, no one's listening to this
podcast.
No,
it's fine. I trust everyone listening to this. Downstairs in the kids section of Arnott's.
I was going to guess. I'm so annoyed. I should have guessed.
You thought?
I was going to guess. I don't know is it downstairs, but I was going to guess Arnott's.
Yeah, because I've been in one. They're secretly Arnott's. Fancy. Okay. They're like the Brown Thomas toilets.
Oh. And they're really far back.
Yeah, like they're miles away.
Okay, so you can't be bursting.
No, no, no. It's a bit like if people have ever been to the Dervish Shopping Centre in the city centre, same thing. Those toilets are
so
actually
far away.
To the point that I live very close to that shopping centre and there was a day that Nikki and I timed each other. He went to Dervish and I went to the apartment to see who'd be quicker.
Who won?
Nikki, but only because I dropped the keys because I was trying to go so fast. It was a race.
Yeah, I know those toilets. They're like hotel spec toilets.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They're proper fans.
Okay, so go back then. So you're in Brown Thomas, not buying anything in the homeware section.
No, just looking around, having a wee wheeze. And then I saw a phone cover and I was like, excellent, £3, lovely stuff, thanks a million. Delighted myself.
In Brown Thomas.
It was an 11, no one's buying them.
Yeah.
Went in, bought it, whatever, fine, brought it home. I didn't read the packaging properly. It was an 11 Pro.
Oh, no.
So if anyone
Bigger.
Wants a phone cover.
Right.
Anyway, went into Bershka then just looking for other stuff and found it.
And,
so.
They had it.
And no, after they do. Your advice about the WhatsApp thing the other day, I deleted loads of stuff and now my phone's real fast again.
Hey!
So I don't need to buy a new phone, you guys.
Phone. There you go.
Oh, I don't like that cover.
I do.
Why did you not like it?
You have to use it.
So it's a kind of...
It's the rubbery ones.
Yeah. Oh, silicone, yeah, but it doesn't slip.
That thing's annoying me as well. You need to fix that little curl at the top.
Cockle's very particular about Emer's phone
cover. I don't know if he's commenting on how filthy my screen is. I'm glad he hasn't commented.
Well, actually, hang on. What about Cockle's phone cover?
I don't like yours.
Which
yours
looks
really...
like he has loads of stickers on it, except he bought it like that.
Oh, he bought it like that?
Yeah.
So what's... Can you give me an example? Obviously, it's a visual medium looking at people's phone covers, so we're on audio. So
there's a lot of things happening. There's that very famous sculpture guy.
Do you not know who that is?
I'm going to guess it's Zeus.
It's the statue of David.
I didn't even see it. I knew it was David.
It's
the famous
David.
Sculpture guy.
Yeah.
He's drinking a McDonald's drink.
Yeah.
There's a sticker of Coca-Cola. There's just some random bits.
Just point out these aren't stickers. They're just already printed on
I
his phone cover.
But that feels like a daffodil.
So Emer's one is kind of rubbery that you have to stick in your pocket, and then that would just be really annoying all the time.
Can I just say, do you ever take your cover off your phone and then realize how pretty your phone is? And you can't live without a cover.
Oh, God, no.
It's like, you know, it'll just die. But I'm going to do that now and I'll take mine off. And I can't believe how hot my phone is without its clothes on.
Yeah, I know. And do you ever like when you're watching, like, let's say Gary Neville or any of the lads on Stick to Football or anything like that, when they whip out their phones and they have no covers because there's so much money, they don't care.
Yeah, they can drop their phone and just get another one.
Like, oh, that looks so nice without the cover.
Like, look at mine. Mine's a kind of a purpley grey, like
that is a good colour. Yeah,
look at the side.
Oh, it is very sleek now.
It's very sleek and slick. I don't realise again. This is an audio podcast.
Can I ask Statue of David?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's in Rome.
No,
tell me then.
I think it's.
It's not in Rome. In, I thought it was in Rome.
Oh, they knew everything a second ago.
Sure.
But when I throw it back on top of them, they don't know.
It's in Copenhagen.
No, it's not.
What?
I was in Copenhagen.
Okay, there is a statue of David in Copenhagen.
Yeah, but I'm fairly certain that the Michelangelo statue of David is in Rome, around Sistine Chapel direction.
Two knowledgeable Nancys here now are a bit all over the place when I throw it back.
Are we Googling or are we letting the listeners let us know?
How did they let us know?
Okay, well,
go on, Emer, you tell us.
David, Michelangelo, where can I see you? Very hard to say. Oh, is it in Florence?
Yeah. Oh, God, I think so. Yeah, sure. Everyone knows that statue.
God, everyone knows the statue of David. God. He's got his little Mickey out.
That's the bear I know. That's the only thing I know about him.
It's just you have a little Mickey on the back of your phone.
Okay, you can't see that part, by the way.
It's currently in Florence.
There you go. Florence, not Copenhagen. I definitely saw one in Copenhagen.
No, are you thinking of the Little Mermaid?
No, I also saw the Little Mermaid.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. No, that's different.
That's in Copenhagen.
Listen, maybe you've just started something and you just bailed out of it straight away. We were laughing at this.
Hopefully not this podcast. No.
Well, if you've made it past the phone cover chat, I think you've done very well. But we were talking about that because the lad, John Barrowman, he just couldn't cope with the SAS reality TV show. Look, just have a listen. Talking this morning about, you know, the show SAS Who Dares Wins. What's the Irish version of that one called?
Hell Week. Which I want to do.
But they don't do it anymore. Carl would have volunteered. Now I don't know if he's quite high profile enough to have gotten the gig.
I could just do the punter. I ain't afraid of you, Ray Goggins.
I saw Ray Goggins crossing the street one day. I don't know where he's coming from. It was a really random place to see him, and I saw him from a mile off because his eyes were like darting into me. And I was like, oh my god, I'm so sorry. Whatever I've done in the past, I'm sorry.
He knows.
The UK one is SAS Who Dares Wins, and I have to say that was the very first one I ever saw. Before the Irish one existed, and I remember just being like jaw on the floor, just going, this is so insane. They do a celebrity version. It's called Celebrity, funnily enough, Celebrity SAS Who Dares Wins. But over the weekend, this is brilliant, John Barrowman, who is a celebrity you'll know from, he's done loads of reality TV. I think he's, was he on one of the dancing things?
He definitely did I'm a Celeb, I think.
I'm a Celeb, yeah. He's a West End stage performer, Broadway stage performer.
Yeah, he was on Doctor Who at one point.
Yes, exactly. And he's American, but he's definitely been based in the UK for a long time. Anyway, he got the call up, he went and did it. This is how John Barrowman's beginning and end of Celebrity SAS went for him.
No, I'm done.
What do you mean you're done?
You're going to screw you, why?
I know, just I'm done.
Why?
I've set him out. And it's...
Yeah, but what from
me?
What?
I just, it's not for me. I know who I am, I know what I'm about, I just, it's not for me.
After only 32 minutes on base, number 13, John, is the first recruit to leave the course.
32 minutes, John Barrowman. Like, think about it. If you're making a TV show, within, you know, and it's 10 episodes, each of them is an hour long.
Yeah.
32 minutes in the first episode, you're barely getting to know who the individual celebrities are. Yeah. You know what I mean?
He knows
what
he signed up for.
Yeah, well, sure, you've
he knew what he was about, he said.
In some ways, like, what happened to John was they did the first challenge. So, you know the way in the Irish one, they tend to get things like they're flown over in a helicopter and they get dropped into the sea or whatever.
Yeah.
They just swim to the, you know, like, it's like shocking, but it's not physically over-demanding. I gather this was something similar. There was a task set for winter warfare or whatever.
Yeah.
32 minutes in, he just went, nah.
I appreciate that. Well, you know what you're about.
It got me thinking about the times that you might have just quit something early. The times you've just noped out of something. Just gone, nope, it's not for me. And I remember for me, it was cycling, okay? Colin Emer, you guys didn't know me when this cycling phase happened in my life, but I don't know if you know my personality, okay? When I do something, I do it all in.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So I had gotten fitter than I had been in a while. I had lost some weight. I had worked out. I had joined the gym. I had done personal training. I was whatever. And another thing then, my good friend Niall Brezzy Breslin, who's always looking out for me, went, you should cycle. Because I've had a bad leg and I'm like, can't run or whatever, you know. He's like, you should cycle. Low impact. It's social. I was like, yeah. So instead of like, you know, borrowing a friend's bike mm-hmm. and putting on a pair of shorts, I went all in. I bought so much Lycra.
Oh, God.
I'm talking about things that are shorts that go into like a body top. Like it's a onesie.
Oh, yeah,
like
I know shorts, yeah. Onesie. The things, yeah.
The padded bit bone. Because, yeah, you're going to sit on the saddle for hours and hours and hours. I bought the clip-in shoes, the helmets, the glasses.
Oh, man.
And then, of course, I bought a super overly priced bike that I did not either warrant, deserve, or need. And I actually hung that bike because I also went, realized like I couldn't leave it outside. You know, I couldn't get this
safety.
Very expensive bike stolen. So what I would do is I would come in, I would clean the bike, clean the wheels, Then I would carry it gingerly up four flights of stairs. We have two, we have a converted attic, so up to the first floor, up to the next floor. And I would hang it in the kind of landing bit where you would walk, and it would hang there proudly, like in the landing of our bedroom.
I am so, and can I ask a question? Were you still wearing the lycra when you were doing all
At this point, I would have been wearing the lycra.
For the visuals in my head, I can burn my retinas.
I bought cycling socks. I didn't realize they were a thing until I started buying all the gear, right? Then I probably cycled on it four times.
What?
And then I went, just like John Barman, nah, this is not for me. This would have been, I'd say, nearly 10 years ago.
I cannot imagine you.
And at what point in all of this, when was the, like, nope moment?
Okay, so I went out, I used to drive to like the Coast Road in Dublin, and I'd cycle in towards town. There's a cycle lane that way.
You live near the Coast Road. Why are you driving? Why would you add another step?
Very Dave solution to a problem there. I drove to the place.
Put the car in the back of the, put the bike. Sorry, I even bought one of those racks that you strap to the back of your car and had the bike on that.
There's so many things involved when you so get on
things,
the bike.
So many things. I cycled up and down that a few times, say two or three times. And then one of my mates in Port Marnock went, here, we're going out on a 56k spin on Sunday morning, myself and the lads. We heard you got your bike, you were talking on the radio, saw your Instagram. Do you want to come out with us? You must be pretty good. I was like, yeah, I'll go out with you Sunday morning. Woo! So lads knock around like 8:30. We get out on the bikes, start cycling towards Malahide. I got as far as Malahide Village and literally went, nope. And I was like, cycled. Well, they went on. I just cycled up a hill, back around by the hotel, and then back home again.
How far is it to Malahide Village?
Oh, like 2K.
Oh, my God.
I was just like, no, this is not happening. It's not for me. I don't know. I sold my bike to a Today FM listener. Dermot, if you're still listening to the show today, hell yeah, I hope you still have the bike.
But you just got rid of all the gear, all of
everything.
Were you embarrassed at all that you went full on?
I suppose that's kind of me. Like I should have been embarrassed, is how I will put it. Let's talk to Jamie, who's in Offaly this morning. How are you, Jamie?
Hello, how are you?
Good. What did you nope out of really quickly?
So I started a PLC course. I think on day two then they were talking about, you know, when we were going to be presenting to the class and stuff.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Not a chance. I'm
oh, you taught that straight away, did you?
Oh, yeah. As soon as they even... like said presenting, I was like, no, this is not for me, gone.
so on day two you went out of the PLC course and you genuinely never went back?
No, never went back.
Wow.
And it was in childcare, and I love kids, and I really thought that was for me, but never even thought about the presenting side of things. So then when they mentioned it, I was like, nah.
See, that's the thing, I suppose, about, look, even being with, if you're a, I don't know, like in a creche or a Montessori or in national school, you're effectively presenting all the time, because you're talking to groups of people. They might be small kids, but you're still talking to them, and you're kind of the boss of that room or whatever it is. So that just wasn't going to suit you at that time. And what are you doing now?
So I'm presenting now.
yes!
So I'm actually working for a company called The Lunch Bag. So my job is to go into schools and I suppose present what we do and what kind of food we provide to the schools. I bring in samples of the food that we would give the kids and food that the teachers and staff members can buy from us and like present it to them.
So you literally are presenting for a living.
Yeah.
That's incredible. Well, that's a sign, I suppose, that although you weren't ready for it then, you're ready for it now.
Yeah, and I absolutely love it. So
I was just about to ask you, have you any of the same kind of, you know, kind of nerves or anything like that, or are you just confident now walking and you just love doing it? Because I'm the same about radio. Like if someone said to me, you know, ages ago that you're going to sit in front of a microphone and talk to hundreds of thousands of people, I'd be like, no thanks, but no, like, I can't get enough of it.
No, I love it. Like even like, so, you know, obviously schools are different sizes, so there's small schools and big schools, so there's small amount of staff members and big groups. So like it's even the big groups, I'm like, yeah, this is fine, you know, I'm so confident in what I'm talking about. I know what I'm talking about. Yeah. I know what I'm talking about. I'm all for it, you know, so...
Well, there you go. It's proof that, like, what's that phrase? What's meant for you won't pass you, or something
exactly.
like that.
Yeah.
There you
yeah.
go. Brilliant, Jamie. Awesome. Amazing. Love it.
Yeah.
All right, thanks a million for sharing that story. Nice one.
No worries.
See you later. Bye. You want to get in touch like Jamie did? 087-4100-102. 087-4100-102. Linda's been on as well.
Dave, you're hilarious. I did something similar about 13 years ago. Broke my neck, was injured, couldn't run, liked running, wasn't able to run. And somebody said to me, oh, you should try water running, and I ordered all the gear, spent hundreds on the gear and stuff that I couldn't afford, got into the pool once, and then remembered that I actually don't like swimming. It's still sitting upstairs. I bought the weights, I bought everything, I've loads of gear, anybody wants it, brand new, never used, sitting up there in the spare bedroom.
Fair play, Linda. Tony tried something.
I was really into fitness a couple of years ago, and decided to give kickboxing a go. And, just for fitness and stuff like that. And bought the Muay Thai shorts and the T-shirt and even a Cobra Kai T-shirt to wear, because I thought, you know, I'm a big lad, I'll be handy at this thing. Went to the first class. I was severely humbled. This fella's like kicking the bejesus out of a bag, and then here's me going, can I not just talk to the bag and we can resolve this, you know, amicably? So I said, you know what? It's not for me.
Yeah, that's probably smart, Tony. What about you, Anne-Marie?
Dave, the sport that I tried that I just decided about 10 years ago was not for me was scuba diving. There's so much equipment and it's so much effort, and you go down, by the time you actually get down to look at stuff, you've had tanks and goggles, you have to clear your goggles, you've weights, you've got, you know, you could run out of breath. You could. There's so much to think about, and hand gestures you have to make and learn. And I was just like, this is the most stressful thing. I didn't care if I saw a fish at that stage. And I was like, this is not a sport or a hobby. This is actually just work.
Just work, learning hand gestures. Oh, brilliant. And he was on about my cycling.
I think your problem with cycling, I think you put up 10 barriers in front of yourself. So anytime you went to go cycling, it was a chore. Like, all that lycra, never mind the socks, 4 flights of stairs to get the yoke down that you didn't even want to go on in the beginning. To get out for a cycle when it was possibly raining, and you'd be miserable coming home, and then have to face all that again. The easiest part of all that trip was the cycling.
Yeah.
So, my opinion, that's where you went wrong.
You're probably right. I should have just hopped on the bike and run out of the house in a pair of whatever I was wearing. Dave, you sound like my husband. You can't start a hobby or sport without buying everything first. I know. I'm definitely that guy. But the thing is, I sold my bike to a guy called Dermot. And I just hope that Dermot is cycling the bike now. Well, is he? Let's find out, because Mrs. Stacey's on the phone. Stacey, how are you?
Hi, Dave. How are you?
Good to talk to you again. I think we talked around the time that Jeremy was buying this bike off me. Please tell me that he used it more than I did.
No, it's actually less, Dave. So I'll tell you the story. I was cycling. I was working in Crow Park at the time, and we were doing a charity cycle. So Jeremy decided that he'd buy a bike. So yeah. He joined while it was training. So he seen that you were selling your bike. So he was all excited, and he went out. And he got the gear, and he was over, and he got the bike, and he bought the station part of the bike as well from you.
Oh, that's right, yeah. It was like a training wheel thing where you could, like, lift it up with the back wheel and do it at home and cycling all.
Yeah, so he came back anyway, and he was delighted. He had the whole lot on your right to take on the cycling. And next thing, we decided to go out one morning, and we were about a kilometre in cycling, and next thing he's like, oh, I have a flat tire, my tire is flat. I said, what? So I went back anyway to him, and next thing I was down having a look, and he took off. He's like, I'm going home. And I said, it's not that. And I was trying to cycle after him. I'm sure he went back home then, and it's been in our garage ever since.
No. Well, actually, do you know what, Stacey? Dermot has just texted in to say, hang up on Stacey. No way, Dermot. So hang on, it's literally been sitting, he did 1 kilometre and then it's been in the garage ever since.
Yeah, and it's the most fanciest bike I've ever seen.
I know! I was so proud of it. I was like, look at me with my incredible bike that I never went on.
Yeah, exactly. And I was like, geez, that's very sleek. Like, I was like, that's a great bike. And it's literally been hanging in our shed like 7 years. 7 years on, I think it is.
Oh, God, it is about 7 years, I'd say. Yeah. Oh, Stacey, I'm so sorry that Dermot didn't have it with him. Maybe, do you know what, Stacey? Maybe it's the bike. Maybe the bike is just too advanced for me and Dermot. We should have just gotten one of our kids BMX or something.
Yeah, I think he's
mostly
doing the
DJing. Yes, listen, DJ Dermot, that's the one you want. What does he go by? DJ Dobbo or something, is it?
DJ Dobbo, yeah.
DJ Dobbo, yeah. Well, go and hire Dermot. He's a far better DJ than he is a cyclist. And Stacey. Stacey, it's great to talk to you. Big hi to Dermot. Thanks a million.
Thanks,
Dave.
Bye.
See you later. Bye. So yeah, look, if you're not, you know, into cycling, then I'm your brother. You know, I tried it. It just wasn't for me. And then I just moved everything on.
Oh, like it's that photo.
The photo, oh, yeah. Yes, on my gear. Instagram, actually, yeah. By the time you listen to this, it's probably
why
gone.
Does it look like your body is
I will say, though, you haven't. I don't really haven't done any of that kind of phases thing in a while.
No,
I probably don't
have
the time, but we need a new phase.
Need a new obsession, new phase. Yeah.
You're obsessed with the chewing-gums there for a while, but I think
chewing-gums, I'm still obsessed with the chewing-gums.
I just don't see you eat them.
No, because I eat them in my car. I don't necessarily eat them when I'm on air.
Yeah, I don't count food as being a thing.
Flying, like my
plane stuff.
Not that
long. The digger, I suppose.
I'm selling guitars. I'm kind of obsessed with selling guitars at the moment. Like this weekend, I'm driving to Drogheda to meet someone and sell a guitar.
That's
like,
good. At least that's an obsession that you're actually making some money.
Not if you're buying things back.
I would say I'm recuperating the money and not making any money. Yeah, let me assure you of that.
Because obviously we ask all our celebrity guests, what are you currently obsessed with? And it's a question I don't have an answer for.
But I do think you're, like Emer, I would say you are obsessed, for example, with a selection of puzzles.
Oh my God, yeah, sorry.
So there you go. Yeah. So Emer is obsessed in the morning. Like there must be, there's a routine, isn't there?
Yeah, I got to do strands, then connections, then I start the daily crossword. And if I don't finish that before I go to work, then I finish that at home.
See, so there you go. You are obsessed.
And then I don't do the mini until I finish my dinner, which even though I've only ever done the mini after my dinner for the entire time that I've been doing the mini, which is about 2 years now.
Right.
Every night when I'm sitting down to have my dinner, Nicky will turn around and go, "Do you do the mini yet?" Because he does it too and we compare. I'm like, no, when have I ever done it before eating my dinner? And I'm not going to do it now when I'm eating my dinner. And then he's in a WhatsApp group and they share them. So there's myself and his and our friend Hazel, who she's almost as fast as me sometimes.
The mini is a puzzle you can do online.
Mini is a New York Times mini crossword.
Yes, I've heard you talk about that.
See, there you go. So you do have something to answer the question if I ever ask you on the radio. Listen, another thing we do on the radio is Music Master, an amazing quiz. And on Monday, Michal from Donegal, you might know him as at Donegal Daddy if you follow him on Instagram, he had a go. Final round. Okay, Michal, in this final round, I'm going to give you three clues to the identity of an artist. You get the year they were born, the place they're from, and a lyric from one of their songs. Then you'll have 10 seconds to tell me who it is, okay?
Perfect.
All right. The year is 1978. The place is Dublin, and the lyric is, "Overseas from coast to find a place I love the most."
Oh, it's... Kian Egan. Nicky Burns. No.
You said Kian Egan, definitely not a dub as our Kian. You did throw a second name in there, though. You threw a fella called Nicky Byrne in there, and that makes you a Music Master!
Yay! Yeah! Woo!
You're up there with us. Here you go, listen. Westlife, you knew that much, all right. The song is My Love. You just had to get the Dublin member, and it was Nicky Byrne. Now, there you are, 250 quid. Surely that'll buy you a 1997 Corolla. You're also going to get your hands on a certificate for your wall that says you're a Music Master, and I'll send you out a pair of Dave Moore Bluetooth headphones as well, all right?
Damn, it's deadly.
Thanks, nice on Michal. Thanks so much.
Cheers, Dave.
Good luck with the car. Bye. Bye. There he goes, Michal, Brendan Donegal. A Music Master for a Monday. Absolutely brilliant. Impressive performance by Michal. But the first text we got was from his sister-in-law, Anya, who said she had to have a go to try and beat the fact that he had become a Music Master. So the next day, she did have a go.
Okay.
Right. The year is 1958. The place is Los Angeles, California. And the lyric is, "When the night falls down, I wait for you and you come around."
No idea.
Ah, I thought you were going to sing it there. Maybe you might know it. Listen to this. Carlisle and Heaven is a Place on Earth. That's who we wanted. I know, someone you knew, but listen, it's a tough one when you're under pressure. Unfortunately, Michal has one over on you. He didn't get 21 as a scorer, but he did become a Music Master. But Anya, thanks so much for playing.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
All right, nice one. See you later. Bye. Not to be for Anya, but Michal was gracious on his Instagram. No, he wasn't. He was playing Belinda Carlisle songs all night long because Anya just didn't get it. So Michal, yeah, looks like a proud music master. You can be a music master with me every day on the radio between 9 and 12. Around 10 o'clock, we do Music Master. So make sure you tune in for that. One of the other things that always happens on the show is talking to a celebrity. I love this. 11 o'clock every day, sit down, talk to somebody very interesting. And there's no more interesting man in Ireland, I would wager, than Hector O'Hockagon, who has a new book out which helps you use Irish words and phrases. And he's loads of them for us.
The Irish language is so rich and so diverse and so magical and mystical. There's 150 different ways to say different things. Like in Navan, we'd walk along the street. And for thousands of years, the people of Navan are walking along Tremgate Street and they're going, well, Hector, well. But well has been there. B-H-U-E-L has been there for a long time.
Yes.
Or Gullia.
What a Gullia.
This is one for you, Dave. Gullia. This is one for the listeners. Gullia. Do you know that curly finger when you've done something wrong?
Gullia.
Say it.
Gullia.
Gullia. Gullia means come here. And that is pure Connemara. Gullia. Right. It's Gaelic. But Gullia and Shaw. It means come here to me quickly. Or Gullia. You want to... Here, Gullia. Have a look at this. Gullia.
What was the one? Respect to my posse.
Masmora Gullum. Well, you can stick...
Posse, yeah.
Yeah, but that was... I had to invent that on TG Carr back in 2000 when I was travelling to America for the first time. Like, Masmora Gullum Machadi on ploughing posse. You can put in chipper posse.
It's so good.
Whatever you can.
And one of the ones I think that I like about Irish as well is the imagination around, like, descriptive words. So say, for example, freckles, okay, in... There's loads of words in languages, in different languages. But am I right in thinking Pogini Grania?
Gahalin.
Is that right?
Kisses.
From the sun. Isn't that just...
Pogini Grania.
Oh, it's so good.
It really represents the freckle posse, isn't it? Those brilliantly white Irish arms that are full of those most amazing DNA.
Yeah.
And we're not born with freckles.
No.
A baby is not born with freckles, but they arrive.
Mm.
They arrive as gifts from Mother Nature. They're kisses from the sun.
And as a man who doesn't wash his legs, me, isn't there a word for back of the knees?
Iscod. Jesus, you like the real quirky ones.
I do. I like the little bits that are just more interesting.
Well, then there's lovely ones like Scotchy. If you do something the odd time, yeah. Scotchy. Do you go to Man United? Scotchy.
Oh, okay.
Scotchy.
Did Man United win? Scotchy.
When is the last time? Did Marcus Rashford score this season? Scotchy. Or Streesh. Streesh is that smile when somebody is sneeringly smirking. When an Streesh into the eye, take that smirk off your face. But the word streesh,
yes,
streesh, you know you have the feeling of the Atlantic, you know you have the feeling of the land, you know you have the feeling of Irish Mother Nature. Streesh.
There you go, Hector O'Hockagon. I could talk to him all day long, but unfortunately I only have a little bit on the show when I can talk to these people. Fascinating man, and a great book, and definitely keep an eye on that new show that he's got coming out for TG Carr, where he visits Cuba and does two episodes on Cuba, one in Havana and one in the Cuban countryside as well. Going to be brilliant.
He's like, he's street, but he's like country.
Yeah.
And culty.
He has a rare mix, Carl, that it's hard to put your finger on. But
he's kind of like country, but from a big town.
But there's something also.
There's a street edge there.
Yeah, like he, you know what I mean? He's
he could survive anywhere. Like, as in, you put him in New York.
That's what I mean.
He'd be fine.
Yeah.
But also, you put him in like rural Cuba, he'll be fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
But that's the nature of
a genuinely curious person about everything. Like, he just wants to know about everything all the time, ever. So I think that is why.
And he has confidence in what he's saying back.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. I think he listens. Like, you've ever seen his TG Carr shows? Like, he'll go somewhere, he'll talk to someone, but he'll really listen to them.
Yeah.
Because, as you said, he's so curious. He wants to know. And then that allows the other person then to bring their story out, and that's why
the book is deadly.
Yeah, it is 150 Irish words and
reference
how to use them. Yeah, definitely recommend it. Right, thanks very much for listening to the podcast. We will not talk about phone covers again. Warning, we probably will.
I want to talk about Mary-Kate and Ashley next.
Oh, okay. Right.
Dave Moore on Today FM.